Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs out there in MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos. There's a host of Bible related study material that you will find that will be helpful to you, and you'll find some information about us. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting time, the worship period, and Bible study period at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We just want you to have an open Bible, an open mind, and let us show you the need for God in your life and have a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We have been looking at great Bible examples, and today we're going to look at the first part of examining, and we'll look at the conclusion of this particular Bible example next week, next month as we begin in September. But we want to begin looking at the man Nehemiah, a champion builder for God. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He was a cupbearer for the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, which is the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before, Nehemiah 2 and verse 1. As in the days of Nehemiah, it just takes ordinary people willing to be used in God's service to do great things. When Cyrus, the Persian king, came to Babylon to begin his rule, the elders of the Jews showed him the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 44:21 through Isaiah 45:4. This prophecy had been 100 years, made 100 years before. The king was so impressed that he issued a decree permitting the Jews to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city and its temple in Ezra 1:1-4. Under the decree of Zerubbabel, they returned with the high priest and 49,697 others. When these Jews returned, they built an altar and offered sacrifices to God, restored the Feast of Dedication and the Feast of Atonement. The foundation of the temple was laid and great celebration in the second year of Cyrus. But it was short-lived. Enemies of the Jews sent counselors to Cyrus and convinced him that the Jews were a threat to the security and the peace of his kingdom. The work on the temple was stopped for 16 years until the second year of Darius. The decree was shown to him and the work resumed. The temple was completed and worship to God was begun in Ezra 6:14-17. Although the temple was rebuilt and was still under the Medo-Persian Empire, the city of Jerusalem was still in shambles and the walls burned and torn down. The walls provided protection from the enemies of God's people who would live in the city. No walls, they continued to be victimized. These are the conditions when Nehemiah comes into the picture. Courage, determination, heroism, and a willing to become a champion builder for God. Nehemiah the cupbearer. In the month of Shilu, which is December, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, Hananiah, one of Nehemiah's brethren, came to Shushan, which is the citadel, which was about 1,500 miles from Jerusalem. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left are from the captivity in the province, are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Nehemiah 1:2-3. The cupbearer always tasted the king's wine before he would drink it to make sure it had not been poisoned. It was a trusted position. What was Nehemiah's reaction to the news of his beloved city of Jerusalem? So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, Nehemiah 1:4. If this were all that he would do, he would have never been remembered. He fasts, he prays, he's sad, he mourns, he weeps. But is that all he did? No, he acted. Let's see what he does to follow through with what he felt. Nehemiah took his case to God. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, he prays. Nehemiah fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We may do many things when we are faced with a difficult decision and a difficult problem, but the first thing we better do is we better pray about it. Listen to the words of his prayer. We have acted very corruptly against you. We have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, that the word that you commanded your servant Moses said, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him the mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah 1, 7 through 11. He called upon God for forgiveness of their transgressions. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. He didn't try to overlook it. He didn't try to avoid it. He knew they had been sinful. They had been disobedient. They deserved what happened to them. They deserved to be in captivity. They deserved to be punished. He made that apparently clear. He prayed that God would aid him in softening the king's heart, mercy and help. It would be no small task to go before a powerful king and ask what it needed to be done in order that he might be able to relieve the situation they were now in Jerusalem. Nehemiah offered himself to God as an instrument, listening for his instruction and ready to go where he would send it. How many times do we as God's children see things which are wrong, desire for them to change, to be brought up, and that change to be brought back quickly? We may even weep over the problems and condition, but do we make ourselves available to help fix the problem, or do we wait for other people to do it? And do we wait for someone else to take the ball and run? Nehemiah could have done that, but he didn't. What did he do? Nehemiah took the cause to the king. He took him to the person that could best help him do something about it, in Nehemiah 2, 1 through 10. Nehemiah had faith in God, even though he was serving a powerful earthly king. God controls the affairs of men. 3 months, he was busy in his duty towards the king, but something was different now. Nehemiah could not hide his grief and the sadness of his heart. This was something he never had done in the presence of the king before. Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Nehemiah 2, 2 through 3. You see, it took courage for him to tell the king the truth. It took courage for him to not hide his feelings about what he felt because his homeland was under this difficulty. The king had great respect for Nehemiah. He asked, what was his request? What did Nehemiah do before answering? So I prayed to the God of heaven, Deuteronomy 2, verse 4. What did he pray for? Probably wisdom to say the right words before the king. No doubt courage to continue this discourse with the king. With strength renewed, Nehemiah asked to return to Jerusalem. Why did he want to go back? You see, it showed great leadership and also showed great willingness that when he was faced with this dilemma, when the king asked him what he should do, what he wanted, he first went to the Lord. He first went to God to seek his counsel and his wisdom. So the king had great respect for him. Now, what was the attitude? What did he want? The king asked him, what was your request? And before, as we said, he prayed to God. And with great strength, he asked to return to Jerusalem. Why did he want to go back? It pleased the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask you to send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Nehemiah 2:5. The king wanted to know how long he needed to be gone. Nehemiah 2:6. Nehemiah had two more requests. If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the region beyond the Jordan, that they must permit me to go pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asper, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the city which pertain to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. Nehemiah 2, 7 and 8. What was his attitude after the king gave him his request? And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. Nehemiah 2, 8. He gave the credit to God. He didn't take it for himself. He didn't wallow in what he had accomplished because he could go back. He gave that credit to God. No sooner had the news gone out, the enemies of God's people tried to stop the work before it even started. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we are his servants, we will rise and build. But you have no heritage to write in this memorial in Jerusalem." Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20. Sanballat with the Horonite was a Samaritan. Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arab, they were Ishmaelites. All of them whom were related to Jews by blood, these men were natural enemies, yet they joined forces to oppose the Jews. Why? Because they wanted to stop the work. And that could be discouraging, and that could stop the work before it ever began. Now, understand, as we get into the early part of this story, that Nehemiah has a desire to go and do what needs to be done. He's told that the gates have not been put up in the city and that the walls are not put up, and so there's insecurity. The Jews don't have any ability to protect themselves, and they're vulnerable to their enemy. And so the gates need to be put up in the city. The walls need to be put around the city to protect those who would go back and live there. And again, he saw what the problem was. He knew what needed to be done. And he didn't wait on someone else to act. He didn't wait in order to see what might happen. He did the wisest thing he could have done to before he began. He took it to the Lord. He went to the Lord and prayed for the Lord's help and his guidance. And when he prayed to the Lord, he got what he needed to know from the Lord. And then he was asked by the king what to do. What do I need to do in order to help you, Nehemiah? And so he again prayed to God and asked for wisdom and guidance in telling the king what he would need. Again, this shows his great understanding of who is truly in control. And he understood that even though he was serving an earthly king, even though he was just a cupbearer, he understood who was really in control. He understood who ruled the nations of men. It wasn't Artaxerxes, it was God who was on the throne in heaven. And so what he wanted to do, he told the king what he would need. He told him what he would need and what he was, where he was going. He wasn't sure how long he'd be gone, but he'd get back as soon as he could. And then he asked for help from the king to secure the things that he would need to have safe passage to get to Jerusalem, and then to get the material that he would need once he got there. All these things show his willingness to take on the challenge, to take on the challenge and do what needs to be done. That's what a good builder does. He sees what's lacking, he gets information from the best source, and then he reacts, and he does what needs to be done in order to accomplish the task. That's the example that we see in Nehemiah. Next week, we're going to see how he takes the next step in order to accomplish what he wants to do. And we hope that you'll be able to turn in again next week when we'll continue to look at Nehemiah, the champion builder. You have a blessed day.